Chapter 15. Emery's eyes widened. Stumbling, he shouted, "Cease!" The vibrating burst spell dropped from the air and hit the floor, harmless. Sini felt a thunk as her body suddenly became hers again. The school walls seemed more solid, and her heartbeat, though frantic, was steady. She flushed and grew goose flesh at the same time. Her thoughts spun ovals in her mind.
What are you doing here?
She asked. Emery's eyes remained large. He took a step forward.
Sienny.
You cut your hair!
She exclaimed. He paused, eyebrows skewed.
And your hand is on fire.
Sienny blinked and turned to the flame still burning in her palm.
Cease!
She said, and the fire extinguished, leaving only the faintest trail of smoke behind. Half a second after the flames dispersed, Emery grabbed Sienny's upper arm and pulled her into a nearby classroom, shutting the solid wood door behind them. Three rectangular windows, one of which was unlocked, let in blue-hued twilight. Sienny's hip bumped against one of the many desks. The chalkboard at the front of the class still bore a half-erased reading assignment from Lord Alfred Tennyson.
What?
Emery began. But he shook his head and rubbed his temples, closed his eyes, opened them.
Heavens, I don't even know where to begin.
Then let me, Sienny said. What are you doing here?
I could ask you the same.
Sienny felt her forehead crease as she narrowed her eyes.
You're here for Sarraj, aren't you? You tracked him down.
A habit of mine,
the paper magician replied, rolling back the sleeves of his coat. They fell back into place at his wrists mere moments later.
I severely doubt you're in Brackley for a shopping expedition, Sienny. You promised me you wouldn't.
I promised, Sienny asked. You promised.
He opened his mouth to respond, closed it, pushed fingers back through his short hair, then actually laughed.
I suppose we're both horrible people.
Sienny's shoulders slumped.
I suppose so.
His eyes met hers.
Is this why you've been avoiding my letters then? To hide this?
He gestured to the classroom.
No, I haven't been.
She began, but changed to.
Magician Bailey's been intercepting our messages. I found them earlier today in his office. He had an animated hawk scouting the estate and attacking anything paper and mobile.
Again, Emery raked his fingers back through his hair. A soft chuckle escaped his lips.
Well, that's a relief.
A relief?
Sienny repeated, spine stiffening.
He read them, Emery. He knows about...
I hardly care. Pritzen knows, and always has been. I've just thought I was clever enough to stay over his head.
Another chuckle.
And here I thought you were having second thoughts.
Sienny felt herself soften, even smile.
I worried the same.
Folding his arms, Emery leaned back against a navel-high bookshelf pressed against the wall.
Care to explain the pyrotechnics?
Sienny blanched.
I believe you told me you were not going to dabble in this after that day in hospital.
I know, but how could I not do something with that information, Emery? How could I let a secret like that go to waste?
How could I think you wouldn't pursue it?
He asked, more to himself than to her.
A pyre,
he said, his voice light and incredulous. He rubbed his forehead.
And a gaffer, too. Next thing, I'll be living with a polymaker.
Sienny bit her lip. Emery straightened.
Polymaking. And siping? Smelting?
Rubbing the back of her neck, Sienny said,
All of the above.
He stood still as a statue for a moment before his expression fell.
Sienny, he said, cool as a tombstone, please tell me you haven't tried.
No,
she said, louder than necessary.
Not excision, Emery. You know what I'd have to do to... You know how I feel about that.
I know,
he said, hands raised in surrender.
I'm sorry, it's just... Miss Sarraj, I don't know how far you'd go.
Not that far, she replied. Never that far.
They were silent for a moment.
He's here?
Cianni asked, dropping to a whisper. Emery shook his head.
I'm not sure. I suspect he's in Brackley. After hours, the building is empty. A safe hold-up, but I have no hard evidence.
Magician Hughes sent you?
Ha! No. I assure you I broke my word entirely on my own.
He sobered.
Cianni, I don't need to explain to you how much I don't want you to be here. I'd be furious if it didn't make me an utter hypocrite.
Same, she said, though without malice. But I think the reason Sarraj isn't Brackley is because he's heading to London after his chase with Magician Cantrell.
Emery's face fell at the mention of the smelter. Cianni pushed forward.
You see, I may have broken my promise first. I ran into him in Reading.
Color leached from Emery's countenance. He lunged forward, gripped Cianni's shoulders.
You what? Cianni, when? What happened? Did he?
He didn't touch me,
she assured him, lifting one hand to his jaw. Despite the circumstances, it felt wonderful to be so near Emery again. It felt safe.
I happened to be a pyre at the time.
Taking a deep breath, he released her and attacked his hair again.
A pyre. Right. Because you know how... God's mercy, Cianni.
I think he's coming back for me, though, she confessed, averting her eyes so she would not have to see any fear or disapproval in Emery's face. He thinks it's a game, Emery, and I may be his playmate. That and he knows I can break bonds. I hit him hard, but not hard enough.
We're leaving,
he said, grasping her hand.
Please, Cianni, come with me.
The bud of a protest rose in her throat. She'd come so far, prepared so much. She could do this. For Delilah, Anise, she had the power. Couldn't Emery see that? She looked at his eyes, hard on the edges and glistening in the centers. And she realized that no amount of power or preparation could put Emery's heart at ease. His broken, beaten heart. More than anything else, she wanted to calm its tremors, make it whole again.
I broke my promise, she thought. His actions aside, I broke my promise.
She nodded, and Emery heaved a heavy sigh. He reached for the door handle.
Where were you?
She asked before he turned the knob. He paused, and she clarified.
I came to the cottage last week to find you, to tell you about Reading, but you weren't there. Where were you?
He glanced back at her.
You'll have to be more specific.
Tuesday, she said. I searched for a hint, waited, but you never came. I left the note on your windowsill.
A small smile touched his lips, almost a sheepish smile, of all things. Cianni had never before seen such an expression on his face.
Just out for a stroll.
You don't stroll.
Why is he lying to me? I've had a lot of free time on my hands.
Emery Thane!
He rolled his eyes without quite rolling them, his own small show of exasperation.
I was with your parents, Cianni. Your father, specifically.
Cianni blinked, relaxed. To warn them. They're safe.
Emery hesitated for a moment, and Cianni thought she saw the slightest glimmer of confusion, but he only nodded.
They're well taken care of.
A comfortable, hot cocoa kind of warmth spread through her. Thank you for seeing after them. It means a...
The red, iron-scented smoke filling the room broke off Cianni's sentence. Emery stiffened and reached for her, just as a sharp and resounding thud echoed through her skull, and the room went dark. The first thing Cyane sensed was the smell of dust, irony and rotten and dry. Then she registered the throbbing at the back of her head, the stiffness in her neck, the tight, bruise-like pain encircling her arms and torso. Dim light prodded at her eyelids, and she pulled them apart, blinking. A groan escaped her throat. She was in a long rectangular room with tall windows draped in long muslin cloths, large brown tiles. Two folded hospital beds had been pushed into a corner near a door. Two rows of support pillars cut through the room, and it was to one of these that Cyane had been tied. On first glance, the room appeared to be empty apart from her. She struggled against her slick bonds, realizing after a few futile attempts that the rotten scent came from them. She studied them in the dim light, their sackcloth-like color, flatness, translucency, almost like sausage casing. Bile rose up in Cyane's throat, and she barely managed to swallow it down. Her sinuses burned from the effort. Intestines. And they couldn't be from a pig or cow. Only humans were man-made. Excisioners could do spells with only humans. Saraj. Cyane lifted her head to search the room, spying the tiny floating orbs that provided light. About the size of an infant's fist, each bore a ring that didn't glow. Green, blue, brown. She bit her lip upon realizing they were eyeballs. It took all her willpower and a silent prayer to keep the contents of her stomach down. The entrails bound her arms tightly to her sides, but Cyane could move her wrist just a little, back and forth. She clawed at her skirt pocket, slipped in a thumb and forefinger, but found it empty. The other two. Her bag? Missing. And she realized one more thing, looking down at her rotting bonds. To tie her up? To bring her to the hospital? Saraj had touched her. The thought sprung tears and turned her skeleton to ice. She shivered. Acid clawed at her throat. Oh, Lord in heaven. He touched me. I'm dead. I'm dead. Emery. She pulled against her bonds. Her breathing quickened as she re-scanned the room, searching for the paper magician. Two tears etched trails down her cheeks. Had Saraj killed him? Had he escaped? Emery. Where was... She spied him on the other row of columns, kitty-corner to her. Saraj had bound him the same way, but he faced the windows. Cyane could see only a sliver of his person. His head drooped forward. Unconscious, Saraj had taken his coat and turned out the pockets of his slacks. Emery! Cyane cried, trying to keep her voice low. Emery! Please wake up! The paper magician stirred, and so did the excisioner.
The game isn't fun when you cheat, kitten.
Saraj's accented voice sounded from Cyane's right. She strained against the entrails as she watched him enter the room through another door, one that led to a staircase. He'd changed his clothes since Redding. He wore a narrowly tailored gray suit without the jacket. A splatter of crimson stained his shirt where it tucked into his slacks, and another dark stain coated his left knee. He muttered something under his breath, a spell, and the slick entrails binding Cyane to the pillar shifted, moving her to its right side so that she faced Saraj. He grinned at her and said,
There's no pleasure in the chase when you come to me.
Cyane swallowed, searching for the voice trapped somewhere in her shaking body.
I guess you're not used to people playing back, she said, but there was no confidence in it.
Saraj,
came Emery's voice. Cyane could see even less of him now.
Your fight is with me.
Saraj laughed.
Oh, no, it isn't. You'll be discarded in a moment, Thane.
Cyane writhed against her bonds, her heart hammering.
Saraj, no. Deal with me. Leave him out of this.
Don't change the rules, kitten,
Saraj said, holding up a scolding finger.
Now.
He reached into his pocket and pulled out Cyane's necklace.
Tell me your little secret, hmm?
Cyane froze.
Grath had been so... What is the word? Adamant? adamant about breaking his bond to glass. Obsessed,
Saraj said, strolling between the lines of pillars, fondling the charms on the necklace.
I didn't know he succeeded. Unless you figured out the secret on your own.
He paused, held the necklace up to his face.
You have some strange things on here. Wood for paper, sand for glass, oil, and a match. So the foundation of the material is part of it. But how?
He lowered the necklace and met Sienny's eyes.
Tell me how it works, kitten.
Sienny!
Emery shouted, but with a wave of Saraj's hand, Emery's bonds tightened around him, choking out any ensuing words, choking out his air.
Stop it!
Sienny screamed. Saraj smiled and lowered his hands. Emery's bonds loosened, barely. The paper magician's next breath came as a gasp.
He'll kill him.
Sienny panicked. She breathed hard and fast. The ceiling started to spin above her.
He'll kill him. Oh, Emery. Not him.
She couldn't even bear to contemplate. But she couldn't tell Saraj either. She couldn't give him that power. How many more people would die once Saraj knew her secret? Emery? Or them? She never should have come after Saraj. She never should have tested her knowledge in the first place. She never...
Tick tock, Saraj said.
Tell him nothing,
Emery shouted. Sienny pressed her lips together. Tears trickled down her face. Saraj chuckled and walked toward her, his gait unhurried. Once close enough, he placed a hand on the pillar beside her head. Emery struggled against his bonds. Sienny could see his legs kicking.
Saraj!
He shouted, his voice filling the room.
Touch her, and I'll have your head for a mantelpiece.
This is the strange thing about Englishmen,
Saraj murmured to Sienny, his breath caressing her forehead. It smelled like cardamom and some kind of meat.
They make threats they cannot carry out.
He smiled without teeth and slid his fingers into the hair above Sienny's ear. She winced and pulled her head as far away from him as she could, but Saraj simply wound a lock of her hair around two fingers and, with a growl, yanked it from her head. Sienny yelped. Dangling the orange hair from his fingers the same way he did the necklace, Saraj ignored Emery's cursing.
I don't joke, he said. I'm not a funny man.
I think you're hilarious,
Sienny spat. He smiled.
Oh? Then you'll love this.
He strode away from Sienny, toward Emery. The entrails holding the paper magician shifted and turned him about so that Saraj and Sienny could see his full person. Sienny barely recognized him. He looked so pale, so wide and white-eyed. There was a trail of blood on his neck, likely drizzled from where Saraj had hit him, too. Saraj muttered under his breath for several seconds. Excision spells tended to be longer than other spells, unless pre-prepared. And the hair in his hands stiffened and straightened. It looked sharp as glass.
How much blood must be spilled before the kitten sings?
Saraj asked, tracing Emery's jaw with the hair. It split the skin open, leaving an angry red trail. Saraj hesitated.
But kittens don't sing, do they?
Stop it! Stop!
Sienny cried. Emery's eyes were locked with the excisioners, but he said,
Tell him nothing, Sienny.
Don't hurt him!
She wailed, wrenching back and forth. The entrails didn't budge. Whatever enchantment Saraj had put on them held tight. Saraj jammed the hair blade into Emery's shoulder. Blood welled around the wound, seeping through his shirt. Emery bit back a scream. Sienny's eyes darted back and forth, scanning the room, searching for her bag, her things, anything that might help her. She pressed her hands to the pillar, but she could do nothing with stone. Nothing with the entrails, with her clothing. The rubber was still on the bottom of her shoes. She felt a rush of hope for a moment, but she was a pyre now. No way of changing that. She feebly patted her pockets, studied her blouse buttons.
Please!
Cianni begged, blinking through tears. She had to tell him. She couldn't live in a world without Emery. She couldn't. Sarraj retracted his hand and patted Emery twice on the cheek as though he were a dog. Emery scowled at him.
Did you know, kitten, that excisioners can break a man's fingers, one at a time, without even touching him?
Sarraj asked, glancing at Cianni over his shoulder. He reached into his pocket and drew out a pair of rusted pliers.
All I need is one nail. I don't even have to be in the same room to make the bones bend.
He opened and closed the pliers in his hand, returning his focus to Emery.
I like the thumbnail myself. Call it a... what's the word? Quirk.
Cianni wrenched herself back and forth, squirmed, loosening pieces of hair from the twist at the back of her head. The locks stuck to her tear-moistened skin. Not Emery. Emery wasn't supposed to be here. He wasn't supposed to be a part of this. Sarraj turned to her one more time.
I might be willing to kill him mercifully with, say, a piece of glass instead of bone by bone. But of course, you'll need to tell me what you know.
Her body trembled against the entrails, visions of Anise lying in a pool of bloody water, and Delilah, hanging white and limp against her own bonds, flooded Cianni's mind, drowned her.
Cianni,
Emery warned. But I'm here, she thought, another tear cascading down her cheek. I'm here this time. I can't watch you die. I'm here. Shrugging, Sarraj reached for Emery's hand.
I'll tell you,
she blurted, stopping the Indian man's hand. Tears trickled down her throat, making her voice husky.
I'll tell you, but only if you let him go.
Cianni,
Emery shouted. Sarraj grinned and retracted the pliers.
A fair bargain. I'm listening.
Let him go first, Cianni pleaded.
You Englishmen and your bartering,
Sarraj quipped. He folded his arms, took a few steps away from Emery.
You don't have leverage, kitten. But I'm in a pleasant enough mood. I already have one magician's heart. I don't need another yet. I might let him go. You, on the other hand.
Cianni, don't you dare say another word,
Emery yelled. It's not worth it.
But you're worth it, she cried, though the words came out so quietly she didn't think he heard them.
Swallowing, she said,
the secret is yourself.
Emery wilted against the entrails holding him. Sarraj raised an eyebrow.
You'll need to be specific.
That's what Grath discovered,
Cianni said, feeling her body hollow out with each confessed word. She'd be little more than a bag of skin in a moment.
You bond to your material's natural substance, then to yourself, then to the new material. That's how it's done.
The excisioner smiled.
Interesting. The words?
Cianni swallowed against a dry throat.
Material made by earth. Your handler summons you. Unlink to me as I link through you unto this very day. It starts with that.
Sarraj lifted the charm necklace, his eyes glancing over each charm. Then he studied them with his hand, pinching and turning. He frowned.
And what, pray tell, do I bond to?
Cianni paused, looking at her necklace, glanced at Emery. Refocused on Sarraj. She had never considered that question, since she had never dreamed of dabbling in excision. Excisioners became excisioners by bonding to a person. Cianni had seen Grath do it to Delilah. But what was the natural material of a person? People made people. They were one and the same, unless excisioners bonded to their original victim's parents? But that didn't make sense. Even if an excisioner managed to track down both parents of the person he murdered to gain his magic, he couldn't bond with both of them.
Cianni blinked and licked her lips. You can't. Saraj's countenance darkened.
What?
She shook her head.
You can't. By definition, humans are man-made, but they don't have a natural substance. They merely are.
A smile spread on her lips, and she added, more to herself than to Saraj,
Once a person becomes an Excisioner, they're stuck. They can't change.
Excisioners can't use the other magics.
Emery lifted his head, his eyes reflecting the unnatural light hovering overhead. He actually smiled. Cianni laughed.
You can't use it, Saraj. You can't, and neither can the others. No Excisioner can have those powers. You're stuck. Forever.
Saraj's face darkened and contorted until he hardly looked a man anymore. His brow crinkled, his lip lifted, and his cheeks sunk into the spaces between his teeth.
Well then,
he said, his voice dark and thick. He shoved the necklace into one pocket and pulled the pliers from the other. He turned back to Emery. All smugness drained from Cianni, leaving her cold and empty.
No, no,
she cried. But the words didn't slow Saraj in the slightest. She had no leverage. Not anymore. Her eyes did another sweep of the room, scanning the walls, the floor. Her eyes stopped at her collar, and she spied the tip of the piece of paper the librarian had given her with the Spaniard's address on it. Saraj hadn't taken it. But she couldn't cast paper spells without changing her material. She couldn't. But Emery could. She couldn't fold a spell for him, and his arms were bound just as surely as her own. He hadn't touched the paper, so he couldn't call it to him with a sorting spell. Cianni sagged against her bonds. Useless. Her one hope, and she couldn't even... Saraj crouched, reaching for Emery's hand. Yet again she searched for something she could use. A flame, a spark, anything. But Saraj had thought of that. The only light came from those eerie, glowing eyes. No lanterns, no candles. Nothing that could make fire, save for the match on her necklace. Her necklace. It was in Saraj's pocket. It had a paper charm on it, a charm she'd made from her history paper. Emery had touched it when he graded it. Her memory transported her to the day she'd crafted the charm at her desk in her room. The scrap of paper had been torn from her homework. The date, 1744.
Sort it, Emery, she cried. Sort with the date, 1744.
Saraj turned around, perturbed. Emery didn't question Cianni's plea. He called out,
Sort, 1744.
The necklace flew out of Saraj's pocket and into Emery's left hand. Saraj spun back to Emery, but not before Emery tossed the necklace to Cianni, using as much force as his restrained wrist would allow. The glass perfume vial carrying the oil and the bottle containing the liquid latex shattered the moment the necklace hit the floor. The necklace skidded across the tiles toward Cianni's pillar, slowing down before it reached her. Saraj hadn't bound her below the hip, so she reached out a foot and pulled the necklace toward her with her toe. Saraj spun back to Cianni. Sweating, her heart racing, Cianni pulled the necklace between her feet. The entrails encircled her tightly enough to hold her in place as she pinched the necklace between her shoes and, bending her knees, lifted it up until her right hand could reach the cord. Saraj sprinted for her, pulling a blood-stained handkerchief from his pocket. Cianni's fingers hunted over the necklace until she found the match tied there. She pressed her thumbnail to its tip, scraped in and up, lit it.
Flare!
She yelled, just as Saraj reached for her, his handkerchief glowing a ruddy sheen. The fire in her hand grew 1,000 times its former size, licking out and causing Saraj to stumble. Whatever spell Saraj had been about to cast nullified itself.
Burn!
Cianni commanded, and the fire chewed away at the entrails holding her. She stumbled from the pillar, her ribs aching as they expanded back into place. With the command, split, she divided her fireball into two. She sent one flying towards Saraj, forcing him to retreat. Running to Emery's side, she used the other to incinerate his bonds. Emery gasped for air as the entrails broke apart.
His hand flew to his shoulder to rip out the hair blade there. He groaned and pressed his palm into the wound, which began bleeding with renewed vigor.
I need my coat,
he wheezed, gawking at the fire in Cianni's hands.
Spells. The stairs, she guessed. He came from the stairs.
Emery's eyes widened, and he grabbed her fireless hand, yanking her behind the pillar just as red throwing stars soared past where they had been standing. The stars bounced off the stone pillar and reverted to liquid blood upon hitting the floor.
Split! Flare! Combust!
Cianni cried, dividing her flames once more. She kept one fireball in reserve and threw the other at Sarraj. He leapt from its path. The flames sailed toward the hospital beds, charring their metal rods as it went.
Go!
Cianni shouted. Find the spells! I'll hold him off!
Cianni!
Go! Still clutching his shoulder, Emery ran to the door to the stairwell. Cianni cast a pinwheel spell on her fireball and tossed it toward the pillar behind which Sarraj had barricaded himself. The fire bloomed into a four-petal flower and spun back and forth across the tiles, forcing Sarraj to withdraw farther. The spilled oil on the ground ignited into a puddle of flames. Gripping her necklace, Cianni recited the words for bond breaking so quickly she nearly tongue-tied herself. She became a gaffer and ran to the window, yanking down the muslin sheet covering it. If nothing else, perhaps someone would see the flames before they went out and would send for help. Making contact with the glass, Cianni commanded,
Leftward, shatter!
The window fragmented into hundreds of pieces and, with a swipe of Cianni's hand, flew toward Sarraj. The glassy darts broke into even smaller shards as they collided with walls, pillars, and the floor. One slid between Sarraj's ribs before he could take cover.
Kudya!
Sarraj shouted. Cianni moved for the next window, but her leg suddenly gave out under her. She dropped to the floor, catching herself on her hands. She tried to get up, but couldn't move her legs. She couldn't feel her legs.
You forget, kitten, Sarraj said between heavy breaths, that I've touched your skin. I own you.
He stepped out from behind a pillar, holding his bloodied side. The first two fingers of his right hand were crossed, perhaps a method of holding the numbing spell over her. Cianni pushed herself backward with her arms, glimpsed the oil puddle, still burning, barely. If she could get that fire. Clutching her necklace, she moved her hand to the pouch of sand, only to have her tongue and lips go numb as well. The spell turned to mush in her mouth.
No more of that, Sarraj said.
He took a deep breath and started chanting. The hand holding his wound began to glimmer with gold, and within moments his breathing evened. He pulled his hand away. The wound healed. He managed to take one step toward Cianni before a gunshot rang out through the room. Sarraj stumbled and gasped, his hands flying to his chest, cupping the bullet hole there. As soon as he uncrossed his fingers, Cianni's numbness vanished. Cianni scrambled to her feet as Sarraj fell from his. Whipping around, Cianni spotted Emery in the doorway, her pistol clutched in his hands. He wore his charcoal coat and Cianni's bag slung over his shoulder. Sarraj lay lifeless on the floor.
Emery,
she breathed. She inched closer to Sarraj, watching his chest, waiting for it to rise with air. But it remained still. The excisioner's eyes stared up at the ceiling, half closed. She hurried to Emery and threw her arms around his waist. He dropped the pistol and embraced her in turn. She pulled back, glancing toward Sarraj.
I didn't know you were such a good shot.
I'm not, he said, wincing as he moved to hand her the bag.
Cianni returned the charm necklace to her neck and grabbed Emery's hand.
We need to go. The police are searching for him. If they haven't seen commotion through the window, they'll be here when—
Wait,
Emery said, jerking back. Cianni paused.
The lights,
he said, glancing to the floating eyes.
When an excisioner dies, his spells become void.
Cianni stopped breathing. She turned back to Sarraj's prone form, which began to shake with convulsive laughter.
Too true, Too true,
his accented voice said. He rose from the floor, each wheezing breath wet and heavy. He moved like a rag doll in a little girl's hands, hunched and loose. He turned toward them and, with glowing fingers, plunged his hand into his own chest, removing a beatless heart. Bile returned to Sienny's mouth.
A benefit of having two hearts, Thane,
he gurgled with a laugh, dropping the organ at his feet as the cavity in his chest stitched itself together.
My regards to Magician Cantrell.
Emery growled and ran from Sienny's side, his coat flying behind him like a cape. The burst spell from the school flung out from his hands and began vibrating wildly in the space between himself and Saraj. Sienny ran toward the windows, shattering one just as the burst spell exploded. She caught sight of Saraj in the corner of her eye and sent the shards raining toward him. She had to keep him busy, keep him moving, or he would cast another spell on her body, on Emery's. The moment the Excisioner had time to think, she and Emery would be dead. She ran back for the stairs, hand flying over her necklace as she uttered the words to become a smelter. She reached for the pistol Emery had dropped on the floor. The room warped around her, dizzying her, causing her to stumble. Not the result of an excision spell. This was Emery's doing, a distortion spell. The jellyfish-like paper bobbed in his hand. She took two more steps before falling onto her hip. The floor rippled like an angry ocean. Her pistol wavered like oil on water. She reached for it, clasped it. The room froze back into place, a thin mist of blood spraying over Sienny, remnants from a spell aimed at Emery. Shaking off the effects of the distortion spell with only moderate success, Sienny stood and, holding out her pistol, called, "Attract!" The spell radiated out from the metal of the pistol, calling forward anything and everything made of metal alloys. Buttons from Saraj's shirt and cuffs ripped from their stitches. Needles lost between floor tiles rose into the air. Even the charred hospital beds zoomed across the room, hitting Saraj in the back of the knees and forcing Emery to duck behind a pillar to keep from being run over. At the last second, Sienny dropped the pistol and darted for the corner, narrowly missing being hit by the hospital beds herself. The needles and buttons rained onto the pistol, clinging to it. Saraj vanished in a swirl of red smoke and reappeared behind Emery.
Behind you!
Sienny cried. Emery spun and dropped to the floor, missing Saraj's outstretched arm by inches. Saraj's hand hit the pillar instead, leaving a bloody print, and Emery slammed his foot into the other man's shin, knocking him over. Grabbing one of the hospital beds, Sienny dragged it across the room with her. Emery got to his feet. Saraj clawed at his pant leg, murmuring under his breath. His hands began glowing red. Sienny didn't need to call out for Emery to see the spell. The paper magician grabbed Saraj by the hair and slammed his fist into the Excisioner's cheek.
Throw him against the pillar!
Sienny shouted. Emery hit Saraj again and grabbed the man's collar, heaving him against one of the stone pillars. The instant he was in place, Sienny shoved the hospital bed against him and shouted,
Bend! Circular!
The charred bones of the bed creaked as they wrapped around Saraj and the pillar, pinning him in place. Saraj began to laugh. Emery grabbed Sienny and pulled her back, then reached into his coat, bringing out handfuls of paper spells. To Sienny's surprise, he commanded them,
Shred!
The spells tore into hundreds of pieces. Ruined.
Gather forward,
Emery commanded, and the pieces of paper collected into a cloud and stormed toward Saraj, floating about him and clinging to him like leeches.
Lacerate,
Emery shouted, a command Sienny had never before heard. The paper cloud pulled apart, half the pieces soaring one way, half the other, their edges slicing through Saraj's skin. Paper cuts. Hundreds and hundreds of deep, slender paper cuts. The papers drifted to the ground, lined with red. Saraj drooped in his metal-barred prison, and the glowing eyes turned black.